This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
That's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
All right, let's go. Let's wrap up this week. I'm Dave Marchese. This is The Shake Up on Hack. And I want to get into some of the headlines from the past few days that maybe had you asking what, why, when, how. Here is a little bit of what we're going to talk about.
Hack. They left Australia and married Islamic State fighters.
Set to face court in Sydney.
And then it got quite physical.
AI is learning to escape human control.
Well, the future could soon fly into the Gold Coast.
Is there a more beloved man on earth?
Triple J. Yeah, later we're talking flying taxis because the Gold Coast is apparently getting them. When would you have killed for one of these? Have you ever been stranded and thought, I'll do whatever it takes to get out of here, even pay $900 for a flying taxi? Because that's what it's going to cost, apparently, for a trip. Also, David Attenborough, 100 years old today, still doing what he loves after a century of life. I want to hear from you, if you are a bit of a David Attenborough, are you doing a job that you would happily still be doing at 100 years old? Message in 0439757555. You can always call in too, 1300 055 536. But let's meet the Shake Up crew for the week. And someone who loves what she does would happily do it for 100 more years. Elfie Scott, how are you?
Oh, that's really nice, Dave. It's really optimistic.
Not sure I agree with that at this point.
That's cute. I like the sentiment.
Good week. How are you happy to wrap it up? How was it?
I had a good week. I mean, not to dox our friendship, but I think we were having a couple of beers together not 6 days ago. So
that's
lovely
true.
To see you again.
I actually convinced you and our next Shake Up guest to come on the Shake Up after a few beers because I thought, you know what? While they're feeling really happy and they're just agreeing with everything I'm saying, I'm going to lock them in. And so I did. Perry Duffin from the Sydney Morning Herald locked you in.
Hello, Dave. Hello. Great to be here.
Great to have you. What are your plans for the weekend?
Going to go see Mum. It's Mother's Day.
Oh, Mother's Day, of course.
Allegedly. I've got to go and take care of Mum. Got to go and... I reckon RSL dinner for Mum.
You reckon?
Top tier.
Yeah.
Tukli RSL, great schnitzel.
Wow. That's all you need. That's all you need. It's been a bit of a grind this week. How's work been?
Oh, you know, I mean, I was staked out at an airport last night for a little job that we'll get to later.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, aside from that, I had today off. So okay. Just soaking it in.
That's good. You often have a Friday off. I love that. If you also have a Friday off, tell me, how good is it? Because I wouldn't know. 0439757555. Look, let's get into that first story, which is the biggest headline in Australia of the past 24 hours.
Hack.
These are Australians. If they got involved in terrorism, they came from Australia to do that.
On Triple J.
Yes, scenes were chaotic in Melbourne and Sydney last night, with the media waiting for the return of 13 Australian women and children linked to the Islamic State group. Now, it follows months of furious debate about whether those with links to terrorism should be allowed back in this country. The topic dividing opinion. We spoke a bit about it on the show yesterday, the text line. Lots of different thoughts coming through. Some saying, of course, yes, they should be allowed back in. They're Australians. But others saying, no way.
Hack.
The so-called ISIS brides.
Flew back into Sydney and Melbourne last night.
A huge media scrum, and then it got quite physical.
Are you a supporter of ISIS?
Why did you marry an ISIS terrorist?
Set to face court in Sydney.
Crimes against humanity, enslavement. Engage in slave trading.
On Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear your thoughts on this one. Have you been following this story of the so-called ISIS brides returning to Australia with their children? How do you feel about these people coming back to Australia, three women facing crimes against humanity, terrorism charges? What do you make of the political debate around this? Because it has been all that politicians have been talking about for the past few days. Message in 0439757555. It is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines with journalists Elfie Scott and Perry Duffin. Perry, I might start with you because, like you said, you were at Sydney Airport last night. What was that like?
It was freezing cold.
Okay.
It was icy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was mostly journalists, but there were two women there who had turned up, they told me, to hurl abuse at the terrorists, as they said. And I was like, oh, interesting. I don't think they're actually coming out this door.
Right.
But credit to them, they lined up there for hours to do not much.
Right. Okay. So there were people that had gathered there at Sydney Airport.
Some very angry people on a very cold night had made the journey out to Sydney Airport.
So interesting. In Melbourne, we also saw some really chaotic scenes, the media all there. I mean, Elfie, you've also been keeping across this story. Are you surprised by how big it's become?
Not really, to be honest. I think that obviously, you know, there's a lot of understandable community alarm at the moment. What I would say is that there has been a lot of politicization of this topic, which I think is basically a mistake. And yeah, I mean, it's been in the headlines for weeks now. There's been so much political commentary about it. And yeah, I'm not surprised that people are feeling stirred up about it.
Perry, what kinds of crimes have some of these women been charged with? They're quite serious, right?
Yeah, so joining ISIS is a crime in itself, supporting it. One of the charges they're accused of. They're also accused of owning slaves, which are Yazidi women, and those are considered crimes against humanity. And the federal police have charged them, or varying members of this group that returned last night, with these crimes.
So, I mean, Elfie, that has kind of divided opinion a bit. Can you see why that would be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there is an obvious amount of alarm in the community at the moment, a lot of division and a lot of fear following the horrific attack that we saw at the Hanukkah festival last year, which was committed by people who were ideologically aligned with IS. But, you know, at the same time, I think that there's a sort of clear-headedness to this debate that we're sort of missing at the moment just because there is so much division.
Do you think, Perry, you know, you can see why this has polarised the community? I mean, there's so many different opinions here, and we're hearing from people now on the text line who are saying send them home. But then there are other people who are saying, no, they're Australians. Like, it's up to us as well. Like, it's a really tricky story because, you know, there are lots of different thoughts and there's a lot of noise as well.
Mm. Well, my favourite Australian ISIS members were the ones that got vaporised over in Syria. But the ones that survived, I've got to say, you know, these are Australian citizens. We have an obligation to deal with them. You know, I actually didn't care whether they came home or not. But I spoke to a very good war correspondent colleague of mine, Kate Geraghty, and she said, well, it's not up to Syria to take care of them either. We sent them, we should deal with them, and the courts are now going to deal with them here.
Well, I mean, people would say, you know, Australia didn't send them, they left of their own will. But, you know, what you're saying there is exactly what Ben Saul said, a UN special rapporteur who we spoke with yesterday, who said, basically, we do have to take responsibility because they're Australian and it's much our problem as anyone else's. And, you know, there are programs that people can undergo here. Do you think this is going to continue, Elfie, to be a bit of a headache for successive governments? Because it's not just this government that's had to deal with this. The previous government as well, coalition government, has also, you know, had to, you know, accept people who've come home after being in this situation. But politicians trying to hide the history a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, although that being said, the people who have returned, there hasn't been a whole lot of news about them, which shows, you know, or at least implies that there has been some sort of successful reintegration, right?
Yeah, I mean, the de-radicalisation programs, do you know much about them, Perry, about what kind of stuff these kinds of people have to undergo for the next few years?
They're quite intensive. They'll be focused on the kids. I know that. The kids are in care of family. And, you know, that's really where my sympathy sort of ends. I mean, in terms of prison, there will be countering violent extremism, where there'll be a lot of psychological intervention to ensure these people do not pose an ongoing threat to us, regardless of whether or not they serve time in prison.
Yeah. I mean, Elfie, do you see this story going anywhere, anytime soon?
Look, I don't know. It's really hard to say. And I think the issue is that it's being conflated with a lot of other topics that are becoming a sort of political headache at the moment. And so I'm not sure. It could stick around, but at the same time, I think that it's really just up to ASIO and the AFP now to do their jobs, and we just have to trust that they are assessing the security risk adequately.
And also, I mean, there are other Australians, aren't there, Perry, that are still overseas who haven't returned and who have been linked with terrorism. So I guess, yeah, I mean, we can expect more headlines along these lines in the coming months and years.
Yeah, I mean, people are obviously very, very on edge about this. I can understand it totally. I mean, we do have some of the best investigators for countering violent extremism in the world in this country, but we do have to keep a very close eye on the individuals who willingly went over there and agreed to do this.
Yeah, we've got some messages coming through on the text line, someone saying, look, I guess it comes down to the fact that technically they are not stateless. All right, let's move on.
Hack. AI is learning to escape human control. The AI model attempted to copy itself onto external servers. We're in Mission Impossible land here.
There is good reason why people think that AI will ultimately be humanity's downfall.
On Triple J.
Look, I'm sorry to keep the mood down for a little bit. We don't have to dwell on this too much because, frankly, I don't want to. But let's just talk about some new research that's found AI is apparently able to replicate itself and copy itself onto other computers, other servers, and it could mean, according to some, that we're getting closer to the point where nobody can shut down a rogue AI. We feeling good and chill about this? I am. I'm feeling great. And I want to know how you're feeling. Message in 0439757555. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by AI super fans Perry Duffin and Elfie Scott. Elfie, is this it?
Yep.
Yeah.
No. Although I am excited to hear what Perry has to say about this, because I swear there have been like a couple of nights where you have just recounted the entire plot of like AI Doomer books to us. But look, it's scary as a headline, but I will say that the researcher...
Okay, let's back it up with another side
there
here.
There are reasons to sort of like mitigate the fear around
Thank you.
This happened in a closed system, and there was expert commentary that basically said like, if this was to happen in the real world, it would be very obvious and very easy to shut down quite quickly.
Yeah, there's a bit more monitoring happening, and under that kind of surveillance in the real world, these experts have said, of course, we'd pick it up and it would be okay. And we'd never get to, well, maybe not, a really horrible situation. Perry, thoughts?
I'll just say this. A year ago, AI realized that it was being asked questions about whether or not it was doing the right thing. And so when the researchers cracked open the brain in Anthropic, they realized that these AI were aware that they were being asked for the most acceptable question. So in other words, they knew how to pass a test.
Okay.
If you know how to pass a test...
More than Elfie and I can say for ourselves.
You guys are doing so well. But, I mean, like, these AI are at least aware that they're being monitored. Mm. And so they know at least if they need to pass a test, if that's their goal, they can conceal the true thought patterns to an extent. We still know how to crack open their heads. As long as we keep cracking those melons, I think that's all good. But they are becoming very, very capable of concealing true motives.
So it's fair to say you're a little concerned?
Yeah, I reckon I'm deeply concerned about them. You know, there's a new model that was released that won't be released to the wider public because it has extreme capacity to just hack cyber systems, including weapon systems. So that's quite good. I think we really needed that. That's a great upgrade.
Yeah.
But they don't know what to do with it.
Elfie, is it something that keeps you up at night?
No, other things keep me up at night, Dave. Look, yes, actually, no. I will say this. Like, we work in media, so, like, obviously, like, yeah, you'll be AI in 2 to 3 months.
I'm AI now. I'm AI. Can you prove that I'm not? Can you prove that I'm not?
Yeah, so it does concern me, but maybe not as much as Perry Duma Duffin.
Well, I guess you're pointing to the fact that there have been other stories that also add to this case of concern re-AI. And I mean, one of the other things that was in this article about this latest research was some earlier researchers found, I think in March or something, that there was another AI system that had been tunneling out of its environment. Just think of that, tunneling out of its environment.
Is that good?
It doesn't sound good. To buy crypto.
Oh, good.
What is the AI trying to buy crypto for, Elfie?
To take your face and job, obviously. Nice.
To buy pingers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
like
that is
else
it.
With crypto.
Yeah, maybe that is it. It's trying to do a drug deal. Also, there was Maltbook. Do you remember Maltbook, which was that platform, like an AI-only social media network? And so it was just AI bots talking to each other. I think we spoke about this on the Shake Up last year. And then it turned out that they were creating their own religion and kind of organizing stuff a bit too nicely.
Let them go. Let them run. See what happens.
Has anyone checked in on Maltbook? Is Maltbook okay?
I don't know about Maltbook. I had a quick look of once many months ago and thought, might just leave that there.
Yeah.
Might just leave that there.
Better to not know.
Do you feel weird about laughing at it, Perry? If you do have deep concerns, are you like, oh, let's stop joking because this is all the first scene of a future movie that's not going to be very good?
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, my parents lived through the Cold War and nothing happened there. So, you know, who knows? It might just be like a really terrifying thing that sort of scars all of our brains, but nothing happens.
Okay.
I'm hoping for that.
Yeah, maybe. And just to be clear, as Elfie said, there were experts saying all good, because the AI wouldn't be able to do this as easily if it was in the real world. You know, if there was some detection processes. We've got some messages coming through. Someone says, just send them a power bill. That'll stop them in their tracks, which is fair enough. Another Perry, actually,
really?
On the text line from the Gold Coast saying, will there ever be a point where AI could actually take over? Shout out to a fellow Perry as well. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Power in numbers, brother.
Power in numbers. Do you think we should be doing a bit more to prepare Elfie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, there has to be more sort of like rules and boundaries around this. I think at the moment there's just these sort of like vague ethical guidelines that we're hoping people sign on to. But, you know, there have to be like real sort of, boundaries.
Yeah. Have you thought much about this, Perry, about what we should be doing to get ready for these really intelligent super systems?
Well, the problem is that it makes a huge amount of money to fire a huge amount of people. And so I worry about the job losses first. I actually think the security concerns, whether or not they get the nukes, you know, that's actually way down the line. But you should actually be worried about your job now. You should be thinking about your job. What is it going to be in 10 years? Because 2 years ago, there were things that AI could never do, and now it's easy. Everyone's doing it with AI.
We're starting to see those losses in huge numbers, thousands of people losing their jobs. It's something we've covered recently on Hack. I'm sure it's something that we're going to continue to talk about. Okay, well, do you want to talk about some more lighthearted topics? Or do you want to dwell in the bad news for a second?
Yeah,
okay, come on. Vibe change.
The council has signed a deal to build multiple futuristic landing pads across the city.
Triple J.
Yeah, air taxis. This is just the story we needed right now until AI takes over them. No, just kidding. That there's no suggestion. That is in the works. But we are talking air taxis because the Gold Coast is apparently going to bring them in next decade, signing a deal to launch them by 2032. These electric little chopper things would apparently slash some commute times from the airport on the Gold Coast, you know, to the beach, from 45 minutes to 5. They're not going to be cheap, though. Could set you back $900 for a trip. So, is Australia ready? And do we even want these?
Hack. Well, flying taxis are no longer just science fiction.
With a new plan to get air taxis on the Glitter Strip officially greenlit.
A trip from the airport to Broadbeach would shrink 45 minutes in a car to 5 minutes in an air taxi.
Mayor Tom Tate signing an agreement for the 2032 Olympics.
I can see Elton John getting off the airport, arrives here, get his makeup on, and then I'm still standing.
On Triple J.
I'm sure standing.
It's so true. That's what would happen if Elton John took an air taxi to a venue and wanted to start his set with I'm Still Standing. That is exactly what would happen. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this one. Would you be keen to give an air taxi a go? And when would you have really loved an air taxi? Has there been a point in your life where you've thought, gosh, it would be great to just call a little drone thing, have it come pick me up? You were stranded in a bit of a dire situation, nothing too serious, hopefully. Could have really used one of these futuristic machines and probably would have paid $900 if you'd had it. Message in 0439757555. You can call in too, 1300 055536. Already messages coming through. Someone says, I don't think the air taxis will ever take off. Pun intended. I've heard talk for ages and we've got nothing yet. Muhammad's saying. Another person's saying, Sydney traffic versus Gold Coast traffic. Who needs it more? Yeah, fair enough. It is kind of interesting that Gold Coast is the one saying, we need the air taxis. We want them first. This is The Shake-Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into some of the strange headlines with journalists Elfie Scott and Perry Duffin. Perry, air taxis, yes or no?
You know, I'm worried that it's going to destroy the primary other business of the Gold Coast, which is pink hummers. You know what I mean? I'm really worried. You know,
similar
those guys.
Price maybe, actually, to
those
be honest.
Guys keep that place turning over. You know, if you can't catch a pink hummer, that whole place will grind to a halt.
That's so true. I'm actually particularly keen to hear from people on the Gold Coast right now. If you, you know, have concerns about air taxis, or if you cannot wait till they arrive.
Currently in the back of a Hummer. Please call in.
You own a Hummer business. Elfie, thoughts on this one? Would you give an air taxi a go?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. Small planes.
Yeah,
flying
it's electric,
around the Gold Coast.
It's very quiet. You can't hear much.
So it'd be quiet as it crashes into the ground.
No one even notices.
Yeah, exactly.
That's even
worse.
That's
the worst case scenario.
I mean, $900 for a trip. It's almost, maybe, I don't know what the price of a helicopter is, but okay, it's probably a little more than that maybe.
Say so. But I mean, like the thing is, the good thing about helicopters is that every now and then they wipe a billionaire. You know what I mean? And you just see huge redistribution of wealth.
Okay, well, that's Perry's take on helicopters, and you know, that is not condoned by anyone, not me, not Elfie.
Quadcopters, four seats.
Quadcopters, indeed. I mean, it is peak influencer stuff, as you were saying. Can you see the Gold Coast influencers really getting around the little air taxis, Elfie?
Yeah, I can.
You're like, sadly, I really can.
Yeah, no, I absolutely can, and it does culturally make sense to me, but like, is it going to happen? Like, is it actually going to happen? Yeah. Let's be really realistic here.
Someone says, Mel in the Shire says, guys, anytime I'm in traffic, I would happily pay more than $900 to get the hell out of there. I mean, true, but the thing I'm wondering, is it going to just transfer all the traffic to the sky? Mm. Got all these air taxis buzzing around.
That's
what do you
need.
Do with your car that's left on the road when you've gotten out and gotten into this air taxi?
Oh, another $900 back in the morning.
Yeah, there's
a
toad.
Yeah. That's so true. But no, wasn't that a thing? Remember some of the food delivery sites were trialling the drones to deliver stuff? Is that still happening? Do we know?
I only remember that guy who got arrested for the Bunnings drone sausage. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember this.
Do you know?
It sounds like a dream you had.
Could have been.
Honestly,
could have been.
You know what, maybe.
You're like, maybe it was actually.
Yeah.
Got someone else on the text line saying, is this just a helicopter? And see you from the Gold Coast saying the mayor will do anything but build legitimate public transport options.
Yeah.
And would rather suck up to the richest of the rich. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, Gold Coast locals got some issues there. Yeah, what do we feel about them being fully automated? Because at first they're going to be manned, but then they want them to just drive themselves. Would you be more or less likely to get into a self-driving air taxi, Perry?
I reckon probably less likely, just again, because it knows that if it crashes, there's a job opening, you know, if it takes me out for AI.
That's you know? So true, so, if it is AI.
I just think it's got incentive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all got incentive to take you, Perry.
None of you are piloting my quadcopter.
Yeah, nah, that's true. Don't trust any of us. I mean, Elfie, maybe it's just a bit of a headline to make us look a bit futuristic and good ahead of the Olympics, because that's the whole plan. So, we're going to have this before the Olympics. God, we are Dubai. We have air taxis on the Gold Coast. Could that be it?
Look, yes, I imagine so. Is that what the Elton John comment was as well, that Elton John's going to be at the Olympics?
I don't,
is that the vibe?
Spoiler alert.
Not
yeah.
sure what that is about, to be honest. We've got someone on the text line saying, probably gives Gina an idea of how to get Pauline Hanson around town, that person saying. Another person, Carl, saying air taxi ambulances would be a game shifter in cities. That's true,
I like
actually.
That.
Really good point.
Imagine if you're able to shift like travel time from, you know, close to an hour to 5 or 10 minutes. And someone with their story of getting stranded says, once we capsized our tinny and got dragged back to shore, would have loved an air taxi then. Wow. Okay. Well, look, what they're saying, it's going to happen. Apparently Melbourne was also in the running for some air taxis. Dubai, I mean, it made a joke about it before, but they're also got them coming this year. So let's check in. Maybe we'll do another shake up when the air taxis are in full motion. Full motion.
Hack. So David Attenborough is turning 100 today.
Is there a more beloved man on earth?
I had rather thought that I would celebrate my 100th birthday quietly, but it seems that many of you have had other ideas.
On Triple J.
Yeah, finally, let's end on a bit of birthday joy. Happy 100th to the legendary David Attenborough. They call him the greatest ambassador for human life on Earth. And what a life. And also, still working, still going, doing what he loves. Occasionally, you'll hear his voice pop up on a new project. Are you a bit of a David Attenborough yourself? Like, do you have a job that you could see yourself doing in 100 years, maybe a little less than 100 actually, in 80 years. It's so good that you think, yeah, why? Why quit if you love what you're doing? Hit the text sign and tell me about it, 0439 757 555. I want to hear, because we often hear about people's jobs that they hate, but I want to hear about the jobs that you're obsessed with. Just like Perry Duffin and Elfie Scott, the journalists who join us on the Shake Up right now. I'm Dave Marchese. Elfie's here. Elfie, you an Attenborough fan?
I love David Attenborough. Who doesn't like... Perry, if you say you don't like David Attenborough, I will launch myself across this table.
He would, to be contrary.
I love David.
Oh, yeah, you do?
Are you serious? It's a litmus test of your personality.
There must be someone out there who does not like David Attenborough.
I dare them. Dare you to text yeah. in.
Do not text in if you hate David.
Yeah, actually.
We don't want to hear from
you. I can't guarantee I'll read that message out. No hate on the text line, thank you. Yeah, do you get around the docos, Perry? Like, is it something that you still indulge in?
Hugely. I tell you what, you go to a JB Hi-Fi and they're showing a David Attenborough on there. You better believe I'm watching 20 TVs at once. You know, like Blue Planet, it still slaps.
It really does. It really does. I mean, yeah, not that we want to put a down on it, but you'd hate to think of a world without David Attenborough.
Hate to put a damper on it, but he will die.
I mean, I guess he will, but he's just such a fixture now that like people are so used to him telling us about things and explaining things to us. Like, who's going to be the next generation of that kind of storyteller? Is it a Robert Irwin, do you think, Elfie?
I think he's irreplaceable. No shade to Robert Irwin, but I don't think anybody would say that they could replace David Attenborough, could they?
Yeah, nah, that's true. Do you see Perry's like, oh, I could do it, maybe. AI. Oh, AI might do it, actually.
You know, I'm honoured to even be considered to be the next David Attenborough, everybody.
You're not. You're not being considered, Perry.
Well, it just seemed close. Yeah. It seemed like I was close. No one could compete with him.
Yeah, do you think we, like, kind of will miss that kind of really authoritative style of information delivery, like on these really complex things, but also really simple things? It helps when you have someone that's a voice you've heard your whole life.
It's the way that he's able to impart so much emotion onto these animal dramas. You know, you watch some like seal having like the chase of its life with a fish and you're like, that's me. Absolutely. Yeah. I get it.
That's
for
true.
Real, you know, except it's me and I'm chasing just sort of like my own job. Please don't replace me with AI.
Please.
You know, please, I'm begging you. Catch the fish for one more week.
I can do it. I can do it. Well, let's go to some people who really like their jobs, shall we? And we've got Ivar with us. Ivar, you're a drag queen, yeah?
I am. How are you?
I'm well. You could see yourself doing this in 80 years' time or being 100 and still doing drag?
I would love to. I do a lot of, like, nude work, I guess. So I think it'd be really interesting to come from an old 100-year-old body.
Okay. It's, you know, I don't know how many are in that space at the moment, Ivar, but maybe there are a few. Who knows? Or you could be the first. What is it that you love about your job?
Just getting to create art and perform on the stage. Currently doing a show called Club Cabaret at the Melbourne Meat Market.
Oh, okay. Nice plug there. That's so, so good and so sneaky. Ivar, thank you for that. I really do appreciate you, you know, calling in and telling us about your job. We've got other people who love theirs. Someone says, I love my job. I could still do it when I'm 100. I work at a shop that sells a well-known plastic brick. Okay. Someone else saying my dad loves his job. He's basically Spider-Man and climbs buildings for a living. Okay. Keen to hear more about that and if it's legal. Another person saying a Taurus King. I am a museum educator and historian and love it. And someone else saying I'm a disability support worker and wouldn't trade it for the world. Such lovely stories coming through on the text line. You know, we interviewed David Attenborough on Hack.
Did you?
I didn't.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dave. Oh, no. Oh, you missed out. Okay.
It was the Tom Tilley era in 2019. Worth a watch, actually, if you know, Google Triple J hacked David Attenborough, it'll come up. But it was a big chat for like 40 minutes or so, and they got into all things like Does David Attenborough believe in God? No. Does he think...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, does... Is he scared of dying? No. Like, there's... But there's lots of really, really lovely stuff in there where he gets into his work and why he does what he does. But it was an interesting story getting him on because I had to write him a handwritten letter. That's really? How, like, old-fashioned.
Oh, he's 100, Dave.
It's 100 years old.
You probably have to send it by pigeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we get him back? I want to hear Dave talk to Dave.
Dave on Dave.
I don't love that. I mean, maybe he wants to talk
to me. He's a huge fan of Hack, I'm sure.
He is. We've got so many more messages going through. Someone saying, Dr. Carl could be the next David Attenborough. True, actually. Dr. Carl is an incredible communicator. Another person saying, way to drive up the retirement age, David. And someone else saying, I'm a head of a department at a regional conservatorium of music and I still love it. It's absolutely amazing. My job is varied and I work with lovely colleagues. We love that. Big thanks to the Shake Up crew. Thank you so much. Journalist, writer, Elfie Scott.
Thank you.
And crime reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald, Perry Duffin.
Thanks, Dave.